Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. The Word of God comes to us today from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, and we're in this passage where Jesus met the Samaritan woman, where he revealed himself to her as the Christ. And now the disciples who had gone to the city of Sychar to buy food returned to their master, who was still at Jacob's well, to bring him something to eat. And this is where we pick it up today in John 4:31. It says, "In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus says unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? And then we go on to verse 38, I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the divine anointing of the precious Holy Spirit to come on this declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For a quick review of our study in the Gospel of John, in John 1, we have the divinity of Christ and the call of the first five disciples. In John 2, we have the wedding of Cana and the first cleansing of the temple. In John 3, we have the doctrine of the rebirth. And in John 4, we have the model for soul winning. Also, here in John 4, we have the confirmation of the saying of Jesus that the publicans and harlots shall go into the kingdom of God before the scribes and the Pharisees. And this is exactly what we see here as we look at John 3 and 4. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, my friend, let me ask, was he or was it the Samaritan woman who was an adulteress who first entered the kingdom of God? Was it the man who had high moral standards, who went to church every Sunday, who read the Bible, who fasted, who prayed, who tithed, who was ordained to the ministry? Was it him who first entered the kingdom of God, this Pharisee, or was it this adulterous woman who had no moral standards and did not go to church? Now, some of you may want to stone me right now as they try to stone Jesus when he preached his first sermon. But isn't it true that people who went to church gave Jesus more trouble than those who didn't? This is in no wise to encourage anybody not to go to church, but it is simply stating that there are problems with God's people, and it's always been that way. God had a lot of headache. He had a lot of heartache with his own people, the nation of Israel, throughout all of history. Just read the prophets. Just read the prophets, my friend. And one of the reasons is that many believers have a morality which is a self-righteous morality, and that can be worse than no morality at all. Now, I'm talking to you here from a spiritual perspective, and I'm talking to you not from the human aspect of law and order, but from the spiritual perspective, from history. The history of the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah had no morality. Capernaum had a lot of self-righteous morality, but Jesus said if the miracles that were done in Capernaum, where there was a lot of self-righteous morality, would have been done in Sodom, Sodom would have repented. So do you get the picture? So Nicodemus heard Jesus challenge him on the rebirth, and Nicodemus more or less said, I have to think about this for a while. It took a while before Nicodemus realized that he needed a new heart, but it didn't take any time at all for this adulterous Samaritan woman to realize that she needed a new heart. And she immediately received Jesus, and she became the first Gentile missionary in the history of the church. Praise God. And yes, my friend, from that time on, she did pray, and she went to the house of the Lord. She tithed, I'm sure. She told everybody about Jesus. So don't get me wrong. Listen, I'm part of the church. I'm part of the body of Christ. You ought to be. You cannot be a Christian and live a Christian life outside the body of Christ any more than you can have your kidneys function when you put them on a dining room table. Your kidneys belong in your body. No, my friend, we need to be in God's house. That's where Jesus went every Sabbath day. He was found in the temple or a synagogue teaching the people about the Lord. So, let's go on then. His disciples, Jesus' disciples then brought him food, and Jesus said to them, I don't want any of this food. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, Jesus' work was to seek and to save that which was lost. And he just found somebody and saved that somebody. That first convert was just brought to Jesus, and his disciples missed it. His disciples missed the conversion of the first Gentile to Christianity, just as they missed the resurrection. Recall, when Jesus rose from the dead, nobody was there. Not a single disciple. And he told his disciples over and over again, I will be killed, and on the third day I'll rise again. Why is it so hard to count from 1 to 3? Jesus said, on the third day I'll rise again, but they were not there on the third day. They missed it. They missed the resurrection. Jesus did not want them to miss the resurrection. He wanted to get out of the empty tomb and shake all the hands of his disciples. He wanted them to be there, so he told them, I will rise again on the third day. But they all missed it. They missed one of the greatest events in all of history. And then here it is, the disciples went by their stomach. They went by their feelings. And so they went to town to buy food. They didn't have the sensitivity of Jesus that something wonderful was about to happen. That we'd better stay at Jacob's well and just trust. And so because the disciples went by their stomachs, they missed the other great event, the conversion of the Samaritan woman, the first Gentile missionary, here in the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John. Except, of course, for John. Because how could John have given us this detailed dialogue between Jesus and the Samaritan woman unless he would have been there? And can you see now why Jesus had a special love for John the Apostle? Oh, my friend, how important is it for us not to go by our stomachs, but or by our feelings, or by reason, but how important it is for us to go by the revelation of the Lord. Scholars tell us that Jacob's well was no further from Sychar than you could hear a man's raised voice. Jesus could easily have gone with the disciples to Sychar, maybe just a block or so away, and have sat down with them in a lovely restaurant, and he could have shared with them there about the kingdom of God. But the same Holy Spirit that told him to go through Samaria, told him to stay at Jacob's well and not to leave that well until he received further instructions. And because Jesus went by revelation, we have this great story of this conversion. Oh, how we need to learn to hear this inner voice. Had Jesus not listened to the still small voice, but had he listened to his stomach and his reason, my friend, this woman most probably would not have been saved. There probably would not have been a revival in Samaria, of which we read more later on in the book of Acts. Further, had Jesus missed the Samaritan woman, there would have been no birth of Christianity at all, because Jesus would have gotten out of God's will. Jesus would have been stained by disobedience. He would have been stained by giving in to the self-life, the desire of the flesh. He would have become disqualified to become the perfect Lamb of God, which only can take away the sin of the world. Oh yes, he could have gone on teaching and done a few good things. He could even have been crucified, but he would not have been raised from the dead on the third day had he not stayed at Jacob's well as the Lord instructed him to do. There would have been no resurrection, there would have been no Pentecost, and there wouldn't have been any church in the world today had Jesus not obeyed God every minute of his life, including the minutes at Jacob's well. Can you see how important every single obedience was to Jesus and how it ought to be to us to obey God every minute of every day? How much would have been missed had Jesus not been obedient all the time, 24 hours a day? So he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, praise the Lord, what Jesus is saying, the will of God tastes far better to me. The will of God strengthens me more physically and spiritually than any food in any fine restaurant in the world. Oh, there's nothing as strengthening, as wonderful as doing the will of the Father. Well, the disciples didn't understand this, and so they thought maybe somebody else got Jesus some food in the meantime. So they said, has any man brought him something to eat? The disciples didn't understand Jesus. Nicodemus didn't understand Jesus when he said, you must be born again. The Samaritan woman didn't understand Jesus when he said to her, I have water to drink that ye know not of. Friend, is there really anybody who understands Jesus, or how many are there who really understand him? Those who are walking by the Spirit, by revelation, are not understood by those who go by feelings and by reason. They're worlds apart. Those who walk like Jesus are lonely people. But oh, when they have somebody in their company who also goes by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, they have the most wonderful time in the Holy Spirit that anyone can possibly imagine. Then Jesus began to say to his disciples, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus didn't miss the harvest. The disciples did, because they went by their stomachs rather than by the inner voice of God. If we go by our stomachs rather than by the inner voice of God, we miss the harvest. To the disciples, the harvest was always in the tomorrow. Oh, once we get to Galilee, we're going to have a harvest. For many Christians, witnessing is always tomorrow. Soul winning is always tomorrow. It's always somewhere else and some other time. But for Jesus, it was always there in the here and in the now. Let me ask you, Christians, how many people has God sent to your church, for example, who didn't smell very good, who didn't look very good, who looked like they had no financial resources, who sat in your church service waiting for someone to love them, to take them out to eat, to lead them to Jesus? How many harvests has God sent into your church sanctuary in all these years? How many Samaritan women have been in your sanctuary? Have you been sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit in bringing in those harvests that God has brought to your very doorsteps, to your very sanctuary? But no, you see, so many church people, when the benediction is said, they greet each other, visit one another. They've already done it 100 times before. And the harvest that God has sent to their churches goes and leaves unharvested. The Samaritan women come to and leave our churches unharvested because we're busy one with another. My friend, when we're together in a church service, we have the corporate anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on us. But when the benediction is said, it's time to get under the individual anointing of the Holy Spirit. When we're together in worship, we're under the corporate will of God. But when the benediction has been said, then we are under the individual will of God for our lives. So, when the benediction is said, the first thing you need to say is, now, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Who do you want me to visit in this sanctuary? Who do you want me to go out to eat with? Whom do you want me to minister to? Is there someone here that needs to be harvested? It's only as we get into God's will, individual, and stay there, that we see that the fields are already white for harvest. And the people that are in this harvest are many times the most neglected and needy-looking people in a city. Oh, can you see why Jesus prayed? Lord, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. My friend, the laborers are all visiting one with another. And so they are disqualifying themselves. They are not seeking God's individual will for every moment of the day. Because, my friend, they have not crucified the self-life. They go by their personal preferences and by their stomachs rather than hearing or listening to that still, small inner voice of God that told Jesus to stay put on Jacob's well and to forget about his lunch. Oh, our Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee, our Father, for revealing these things to us today, and help us to get them into our hearts. For Thy honor and glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.